This is the account that Matthew gives us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I found this just the other day and wanted to share it with you as we begin our message. It's a fairly long, if you want to call it a poem, part of it is a poem. It's a rendering concerning what we're dealing with this morning. It's Crucifixion Day. Jesus is praying. Peter is sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Crucifixion Day. Pilate is struggling and the council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. But they don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Crucifixion Day. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denying, and they do not know that Sunday's coming. It's Crucifixion Day. The Romans beat my Lord. They robe Him in scarlet. They crown Him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Crucifixion Day. We see Jesus walking to Calvary, blood dripping, His body stumbling. His spirit is burdened. But you see, Sunday's coming. It's Crucifixion Day. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross, nail His feet to the cross. When they raise Him next to criminals, but they cannot tell you that Sunday is coming. It's Crucifixion Day. The disciples are questioning what is happening to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating and they're scheming. And they have achieved, but they do not know that Sunday's coming. It's Crucifixion Day. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by His Father, left alone and dying. But no, can no one save Him? Oh yes, Sunday's coming. It's Crucifixion Day. The earth trembles and the skies grow dark. The King yields His spirit. It's Crucifixion Day. Hope is lost and death is won. Sin has conquered and Satan is laughing. It's Crucifixion Day and Jesus is buried. The soldier stands guard and the rock is rolled into place. But it's only Crucifixion Day. Sunday is coming. And this morning, I want to declare to you that Sunday did come. And that morning in which Jesus rose from the dead, that dawning of the day, whatever time of the day that may have been, thank God He arose. Mary, the mother of the Lord, I'm sure she has watched the public humiliation of her son that many call a trial. It was such a mockery of a trial, but yet she had watched that and he has been beaten. And if she had not known who he was, she probably would not have recognized who he was, because the scripture says that his visage was so marred that he didn't even look like a human. Her pain is great as only a mother can feel. And she watches the nails go through his skin and through his feet. And she understands and she forgets all the miracles that she has seen. She's no longer thinking about that first miracle that was given there in Cana of Galilee where Jesus turned the water into wine. She maybe has forgotten that she has told the disciples on another occasion, just do whatsoever He saith to do. She is watching her darling son hang there upon the cross. Maybe she's forgotten that Sunday's coming. You have the Apostle John, whom Jesus loved. I'm sure he is no longer thinking about that time there as they were at the Passover where he laid his head upon the breast of our Lord and the Lord spoke to him. And maybe John, as he has seen all the miracles and all the things that only we could dream about seeing, that John has looked upon as Jesus walked upon the face of this earth revealing to people who He was. He hears the Lord say, "Behold thy mother." And from that point on, the Scripture tells us that John took care of the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. She has been taken by Him now. And John maybe has forgotten all those things, but maybe he doesn't even know that Sunday's coming. He's the disciple whom Jesus loved, but yet the Scripture says that all of them were that forsook Him. The Bible says that they did not understand that He had to die and He had to come again. Peter, one of the boldest of all the disciples. We know the life of Peter. We know the words of Peter, how that he was always speaking, sometimes maybe speaking before he thought too well. He's very boisterous, and he's the one that said, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And just a few hours later, the Apostle Peter says, "I know him not." And Peter goes out, and the Bible says he weeps bitterly because of the words that he has spoken. Peter didn't know that Sunday was coming. He didn't deny Him once or twice, but He denied Him three times. And it was just like the Lord said that He would do. Oh, but you read in the Gospel of Mark that when Jesus comes, the resurrection has occurred, and Jesus calls for all of His disciples. He says, "I want to meet with them, tell them that I'm alive." And then He says, "And Peter." He points out Peter definitely by name. And I believe He did that for a reason, because Peter now has been, can you imagine, as he goes out and weeps bitterly because of what has taken place and the words that he has said and the denial that he has given, Peter has now been left alone to himself for 3 days and three nights. I wonder what Peter went through. I wonder what kind of struggles he went through in his mind. Why did I do that? Why would I have ever denied my Lord? Why? Oh, why? And so when the Lord comes forth, He says, "I want to see the disciples, and you be sure and go tell Peter." Because the Lord wanted to see him also. Let's read our text here this morning in Matthew chapter 28. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door that, and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not. Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here." What a glorious verse this is. "He is not here, for He is risen as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell His disciples, He is risen from the dead, and behold, He goeth before you to Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you." They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and ran to bring His disciples word. And as Mark says, and Peter. Here we find this morning the account that Matthew gives us concerning the resurrection, or at least the occurrence of what is left behind after the resurrection. These women come early that day, and they come for a purpose and for a reason. They come to anoint the body of a dead person. What excitement must have been in their minds when they come to the realization that He is not here, He is risen, and then that little phrase, "as He said." Time and time again, Jesus had told His disciples, and He had told those that were following Him, that He would have to be put to death, that He would die. At one point, He says, "You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it again." And of course, the enemies of the Lord said He blasphemes. He said the temple that took over 40 years to build, He says He's going to build it again in 3 days. But Jesus was speaking of His body. He was not speaking of a building. And so they get the message now that Jesus is alive. And every Sunday since that day represents Resurrection Sunday. Last Sunday represented it, and next Sunday will represent it. And this morning we have a special time that we observe, and We think about the resurrection of our Lord, but from the very time that Jesus arose from the dead, every Lord's Day is a testimony and a witness that He's alive. Thank God this morning He is alive. Every church steeple that points toward heaven gives us the story and gives us the message that He's alive. Every Sunday, Easter Sunday really has no real significance with Easter eggs and bunny rabbits, but it does have significance with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God this morning He is alive. And because He lives, we one day shall live with Him. Today I want us to look at some thoughts about the resurrection of the Lord and why the devil hates it so bad. Now, Satan despises, and I guess the only other doctrine that is more despised by Satan than the resurrection is the virgin birth of our Lord. Because without either one of those, you have no gospel. Without either one of those, you have no Savior. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died as a sinner. He died taking my sins upon Him. But thank God He didn't stay in the grave. He came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and the angel came and said, "He is not here. He is alive." It seems as though where we read in these verses, the Bible tells us that the angel rolled the stone away and then he just sat upon it, almost like a mocking angel would say, "Come and see." Now we find that Jesus Christ is no longer in the tomb. He's no longer dead. He is alive, and He's alive forevermore, never to go through that again. Jesus is coming again, but He's not going to come as a suffering Lord. He's coming as a ruling Lord, as a Lord and Savior, as a King of kings and Lord of lords. But Satan hates the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ because that for him was a day of defeat. You and I, it's a day of victory. For those of us that are saved, thank God we can sing victory in Jesus. We can have the victory in our soul and can rejoice in the things that God has done for us. But that day that Jesus arose from the dead and we celebrated every Sunday, it was a time of great defeat for the wicked one. And he hates the very thought of the resurrection. It is this day that Satan or evil was defeated. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head." Satan, Lucifer, the seed of the woman is going to bruise thy head. And that bruising is a bruising unto death. It's a bruising unto defeat. And I'll tell you what, on resurrection morning, Satan was defeated. His plans had to be changed. His ideas were over. He realized and he understood, "I'm not going to accomplish what I thought I would accomplish." And you and I this morning, we need to understand that he despises the great doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are even some denominational institutions today that make very little and make light of the resurrection. But upon that resurrection, hymns, and we depend upon that as the very foundation, pivotal point of our doctrine. And it hinges upon what we know and what we believe from the Word of God, that He's alive, and so therefore we can have life eternal. Resurrection time was a defeat for Satan. I'm glad also this morning it was a defeat for sin. Sin no longer has to rule over our mortal bodies because we have a Savior. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death? Therefore we are buried with Him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Baptism is a perfect picture of what occurred to you and I when we got saved. Baptism is a putting under the water that's the death, It pictures the death of our Lord. It pictures the death of Jesus Christ. And He is buried, and we are buried in the water. And thank God we come up out of the water, and Jesus came up out of the grave. And so it's a picture of our salvation. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every individual in this building, every individual of this world, the iniquity was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he died for us, but thank God he arose from the dead for us. And we have liberty in Christ. No longer do we have to sorrow as those that have no hope, for we have hope in Jesus Christ. No longer do we have to go to the cemetery and wonder what is going to take place and wonder what has happened. The book of Job asks the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? I'm glad to declare to you this morning, as the Lord gives us His Word, that as a believer, when we die, we shall live again. And we're going to live with Him forever and forever because of His resurrection. But on the other side also, those that do not believe and those that reject and those that will not follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to live also. We're living in two different realms and two different areas and two different places. But there is resurrection because of the Lord. No longer do we have to sorrow. We don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Thank God we have hope this morning. And our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You and I this morning, if the Lord was to come today, we would be changed. And those that have died in Christ before us, they're going to be raised in newness of life, and we go up to be with the Lord forever and forever. All because there was a Sunday. All because there was a resurrection day in which Jesus Christ. Therefore we can say, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I'm glad this morning that we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death doesn't have to be feared, and we do not have to wonder and fear about dying because one day He arose. You and I this morning as a believer, death shouldn't hold a fear upon us because we know where we're going. I have a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ that one day we shall be with Him. Now we fear the process of dying, but we should not fear dying. We fear what goes on in this body and the problems that may arise in the process of dying. We don't have to fear death if we know Jesus Christ, because He is the resurrection. He is the one that has given us life eternal. Matthew 28 and verse number 20 says, teaching them to observe all things. I'm glad we have the all things of the Word of God, and we are to go into the ends of the world and give the message that Jesus saves, that He is that one. Death certainly does not have to be feared, but we should not forget death either. For we all shall die. We don't put death on the back burner and say, well, it'll never happen to me, because it will happen to you. It will come to your house. It will come to your presence. And it will come to us personally. So we don't want to forget about death, but thank God as a believer, we don't have to fear it. We don't have to live in dreaded fear of dying, because Paul says, for me to die is gain, much, much better. And so we do not want to forget it. And this world today that knows not the Lord, they don't even talk about dying. They don't want to think about dying. But one day they'll come face to face with it. One day we'll all come face to face, because the Bible says, as is appointed unto men, once to die. And then it says, but after this, the judgment. Every person that's living right now, one day will face death. We have only one life, and it does not take it long to go by. It does not take it very long for the moments of time to turn into years and decades. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves closer to that side than we are to the birth side. All of a sudden, we begin to think about what's going to happen, how questions become a reality in our minds of what's going to take place and wonder how I will die and wonder what will happen. And I'm glad this morning whatever takes place in my life, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that I have believed and trusted, and thank God I can trust and look upon Him and I can face death without fear. I'm glad that I can say this morning, I'm a Christian, a child of God. Someone made this statement, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And how true that is. I'm afraid a lot of our lives, and I put the word our in there because I'm in that same group. I'm afraid a lot of our lives that we, or the time that we spend of our life, I'm afraid we're going to find that we've wasted so much of our time. It's appointed a man wants to die. Let me ask you here in the middle of the message, if it was your time to die, if today was your time to leave, how would you stand before the Lord? What would your standing be before the God of heaven? What kind of standing, what kind of judgment would you face at that time? Because after this, the judgment. Some might say, well, I've got plenty of time. I'm young. I'm not going to have to worry about that for a while. But you know what? One day, there's going to be an after this for you. Well, I'm fair and well and I'm healthy. But you know, one day there's going to be an after this for you. After this, the judgment. Satan hates the resurrection. He hates the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ because it was a day of declaration that he was a deceiver. He is the one that is the deceiver. His resurrection and the Lord Jesus Christ showed that he was deity, showed that he had power of deliverance. Thank God we've been delivered from the very presence and element of sin. One day we'll be out of its presence completely because of what Christ did. The Bible says, for since by one man came death, by man came also the resurrection. Jesus died as a man, and guess what? He arose as a man. He didn't go back to heaven as some spiritual being. He was there standing and talking to His disciples, and they watched Him disappear before their eyes. And the angel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? And the very next thing that is said in that passage is that now you need to go. We have a call. Here the Lord gives to us eternity because of the resurrection. It declares Him to be who He said He was. Oh, you saved others, yourself you cannot save, is said there from the cross. But the resurrection declared that He was the Son of God. The resurrection declared to the whole world that He was exactly who He said He was. And now we have a message to tell. Satan hates that resurrection. He hates the message of the resurrection because Christ is the way of deliverance. Christ is the one. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the declaration of who He is. If we would but believe, if we trust, without His resurrection, we would not have any deliverance from sin. We would not have any deliverance from the family of Satan. Without His resurrection, we would all still be in our sin, headed toward a devil's hell. But thank God, we're alive and going to heaven. Christ be not risen, the Bible says your faith is vain, empty. Sort of like a soap bubble that pops in front of us if He is not raised. And then if He's not raised, the same passage of Scripture says, and ye are yet in your sins. Since He is my deliverance, thank God I have some security. I have something I can depend upon. He lives. I can face tomorrow, is the song we sang earlier. Because He lives, I can face whatever comes my way. It may not be joyous, it may not be happy, but I can face it because He's alive.
Because He lives, and because I trust Him, He gives me faith and gives you faith that we can face whatever comes. Thank God for the grace that He gives us to do that. Someone might say, oh, I don't see how anybody can ever face some of the struggles that different ones face. Well, when we get there, to that place, I believe God will give us the grace to face it. We have saving grace. He saves us by His grace. We serve Him because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day we're going to be delivered unto Him by death, and we'll have dying grace. We'll have that grace that we've talked about of other folks that as they seemingly are just waiting for the moment, seemingly are just desirous that the Lord would remove their life from this earth and carry them to heaven, that dying grace. That's the grace that it takes to go from this world to that world. And I'll tell you what, the transition's great. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us. We can think about it, we can read about it, we can talk about it, but we still do not know the other realm. We do not know the other side of what the Lord has prepared for those of us that love Him. He is my security. These things have I written, John says. This disciple that laid on the breast of the Lord, this disciple that was the one that says whom Jesus loved, this disciple that heard Jesus say those utterances that we noticed last Sunday from the cross, and this same disciple, he makes the statement, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you know that you have eternal life. I'm glad, thank God, He gives us life eternal. He gives us a life that never does end. It's not just a hope, or a maybe so, or a hope so. I'm glad I know when I take my final breath, I know where I'm going. I hope you can say you have that same assurance and security. Satan hates the resurrection because not only a day of deliverance, but to God and to those around, when the realization of what had taken place is a day of delight. This is a day that showed the Lord was well pleased, the Father was well pleased with His Son. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 12. This man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. This morning, the Bible pictures us in word pictures what we can understand in our minds. That there in heaven is God sitting on the throne, and seated at the right hand of that throne of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is there making intercession. The word intercession means He pleads our case. He is our advocate. He is that one that brings our case before God. And He is sitting at the right hand of God. The sacrifice of Calvary then placed Him there beside His Father. Abraham, as he was going up the one side of the mountain, he said to his son, as the son had asked him, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, my son, God shall provide Himself a sacrifice. And there on that crucifixion day, Jesus Christ was the provided sacrifice for mankind. The sins of the whole world were placed upon Him. Oh, but thank God there was Sunday morning. Thank God there was resurrection day. Just as there was the death and the burial of our Lord, just as there was the birth of our Lord and all the actions of His life, thank God it didn't end at the tomb. It ends nowhere, even in eternity. Thank God it didn't end in death. It didn't end in the tomb. But now He's alive and He remains alive forevermore. And God had literally at that time provided Himself a sacrifice. the God-man, Jesus Christ, dying for the godless man, such as you and I. And as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. You see, that's a part of our gospel. It is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. That God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then those last words of that verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those words echo down through eternity. They have come now for some 2,000 years after the Apostle Paul has penned those words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They still echo true this morning. For whosoever, I put my name there one day, I realized it was for me. I realized I was a whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord this morning. It's all because there was a Sunday. All because there was a resurrection. When they came early in the morning, the first day of the week, early in the morning, and He was already gone. Praise the Lord this morning for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He lives, we can face it. And because He lives, we shall live. Let's stand together this morning.